Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
To the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, Valley sports fans. Happy Thursday. How is everybody doing today? You awake? We are, I think.
Kind of.
I didn't get that memo.
You didn't get that memo?
Hold on, wake up.
Do you find that the weeks are going by faster or slower in this new time slot? Because once we're done with the show, we still have so much day left.
Yeah,
it's almost that like every is throwing day is two me days. Off.
Yeah, yeah. For a person with no life or hobbies, right. It's kind of a challenge. Like, what do I do?
That's funny.
Knitting.
That's pretty good. Yeah, nice. It's like I've had this realization that, because I'm kind of the opposite. I'm always trying to squeeze too much. I don't have enough time to do what I want to do. And now I'm like, wow, this is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the weeks, it doesn't feel like it's Thursday. I will say that. So I guess it's going by a little bit faster. I will say the 4 hours of the show fly by.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
They should. That's a sign of a good radio show, right?
I guess.
The greatest radio show.
Put that in the open.
I've also noticed that, Jared, you are not as food obsessed as you used to be. Have you come to
Not today, Dan, because you know what today is.
I don't know what today is.
Oh, it's a high holiday, is it not?
It is.
I'm sorry. Of course
it
I do know
Yom
that.
Kippur.
Of course I know that.
So
you call yourself Jewish, Bick.
This is definitely a unique year because Jewish holidays start at sundown, and they end at sundown. So it's night to night.
That's right.
It started at sundown. The sun hasn't even risen yet to start the day of fasting.
Okay, so. Well, let's take today out of the picture. I've noticed the last couple of days you are not obsessing over food, but it doesn't seem like you are obsessing over food.
Well, yesterday,
like you used to.
I don't know that. Yeah,
Am I wrong about that?
How obsessive could one be at 3:30 in the morning?
I don't know.
But I had a peach yesterday, and then after the show, I had a chicken burrito.
Okay.
So I did indulge a bit.
Well, that's good. No, train your mind. That's what I'm saying. Train your mind to eat after the show. That's what you do. No.
If he doesn't eat during the show, then you can't rip on him, and I can't laugh.
That's a good point. Shut up, Jarrett.
Start eating, Jarrett.
Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, we start the Splash. The Cardinals getting back on the practice field yesterday for the Minnesota Vikings. They will host the Vikes Sunday at State Farm Stadium in the 2021 home opener. Big news from yesterday's session, Chandler Jones, who won the NFC Defensive Player of the Week award yesterday, spoke to the media for the first time in a while, and as could be expected, he was asked about his contract status. Jones confirmed that he did indeed ask for a trade this offseason, that he's not thinking about his contract situation, that he's just concentrating on playing football, and that he plays better when he doesn't think about his contract situation.
Yeah, this is I find this to be fascinating because you like hearing him talk that way, but every gesture he makes on a football field is related to making money. Making it rain, patting Steve Keim's pockets. So clearly it is an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly it's on his mind.
It's a driving force, as well it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, he's set for this year. He's making over $15 million. But, you know, it's all about the future. It's all about that future feeling of security.
Yeah, listen, whatever he's doing, just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Goodbye me.
Get another 5 sacks on Sunday, and let's talk again.
And I also think it's very interesting when I talk about the vibe of this football team, for Chandler Jones just to come out and say, yeah, I requested a trade, and just own it the way he owned it, you don't hear that a lot.
Well, I mean, in getting to know him a little bit over the years, I think both of our takeaways is Chandler Jones is not like other athletes.
No. No.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
We did
he's,
an,
he's very much an individual and unique.
Oh, I love the guy's personality. We did an interview with him. He came and he sat down and he had a backpack. You know how some people carry a backpack and they sling it over one shoulder, right? He had it over both shoulders, like an eager school guy. And he sat in the edge of his chair with this backpack.
He never took it off.
And never took it off.
And that tells you something about Chandler Jones.
What was in the backpack?
Maybe that's why he didn't take it off. On the injury front with the Cardinals, right tackle Calvin Beecham did not practice. He's still affected by a ribs injury. Cliff Kingsbury said he didn't know if Beecham will be able to play on Sunday. Linebacker Devon Kennard, safety Charles Washington, also missed practice with injuries. DeAndre Hopkins, Rodney Hudson, A.J. Green got days off. Football season's here. Wednesday practice. Not fully participated in.
I think the NFL has found its stride already. And by that I mean there's like a churn of news every day, little stories here and there, you know, players starting to pop off a little bit.
Week two gets underway tonight. New York Giants visiting the Washington football team in a game that kicks off at 5:20 Arizona time. Washington going with Taylor Heinicke as their starting quarterback, with Ryan Fitzpatrick on IR with a hip injury. I'm not a huge fan of Thursday night football. The only part I like about it, really, is that it starts the NFL week. It gives you something to, like a little nosh before the main course
on
Sunday.
Yeah, no, I've grown to actually appreciate it a little bit. I know it's terrible for the players and all that. This is an interesting game. It almost feels like there's a desperation attached to Daniel Jones and the Giants in this game.
Yeah, every time you see Daniel Jones appear on a television screen, it's followed up with a graphic on how many turnovers he's had since he's been in the league, which is by far the most of any player.
And the other thing, too, is who is Saquon Barkley as a football player? He was drafted really high.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Coming off an injury.
Yeah.
He had 27 total yards in week one, and he might not play tonight. It was a rough injury he came back from.
I know, but his career has been just, he's had a few good games here and there, but he hasn't been what I thought he was going to be.
Are you saying that it's probably not wise to overvalue running backs
in
today's NFL?
That's what I'm saying. Ezekiel Elliott looked really average in week one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys got bad news yesterday. Defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a broken foot in practice. The two-time Pro Bowler had five tackles and a forced fumble in the Cowboys' season-opening loss to Tampa Bay. NFL Network saying it's about 6 to 8 weeks and Lawrence could return by November. D-backs get swept again in L.A. This time the final was 5-3. Merrill Kelly returning from the COVID-19 reserve list. He pitched for the first time since August 11th. He gave up 4 runs on 10 hits. In 4 2/3 innings, he took the loss. Gavin Lux had 2 hits and 2 RBIs for the Dodgers, who are now 14-2 against the Diamondbacks. And in the 10 games played at Dodger Stadium between the two teams this year, 9-1, it was loss number 99 of the season for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
How low will they go?
Off day today, they'll start a 3-game weekend series in Houston against the AL West leading Astros tomorrow night. The Arizona Coyotes were selected to play in a preseason game against the Dallas Stars in the Kraft Hockeyville Series. This one will take place in El Paso, Texas, coming up on October 3rd. El Paso will host the game as a reward for being the winner of the Kraft Hockeyville Grand Prize last year. They got the most online votes for being the most spirited hockey community in the U.S.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying it for years.
You didn't even need to say this. You said Hockeyville. I thought, El Paso. Yeah.
I mean, that's what they...
You don't even need to say this city. Right. Yeah, of course.
Coyotes also have a new assistant general manager. They've hired John Ferguson, who will serve as the GM of the AHL Tucson Roadrunners. He comes from Boston, where he spent the last 7 seasons in the front office, as well as being the GM of the Providence Bruins of the AHL. He is also as experienced as the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs back in the 2000s.
Well, and I would say this is good. This is another real hockey guy hired by the organization. Mm-hmm. So for all the weirdness, they've got a couple of really good hockey guys now at the top.
Sure. Do they have a lot of good hockey guys on the ice?
yeah, details. Yeah, right.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right.
But mean, we're just like less than 2 weeks away from preseason NHL hockey, and then like 2.5, 3 weeks away from NBA preseason basketball.
That's crazy.
We're about to get swamped up in here.
Yeah, that's gonna hit very, very strange.
Yep. There you go. There's your splash. Text Red Sea right now to 620-620. Listen for your name today at 735, 135, and 335, and you could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, plus one grand prize winner is going to score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620, 620. Coming up next, he's winning awards, and he's talking. We'll tell you what Chandler Jones had to say to the media yesterday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And Murata.
Dan Bickley and Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, I did ask for a trade. I did. If Steve wants to talk about that, he can speak about it or my agent, but that is true.
That was Chandler Jones. Yesterday, same day, he collected another NFC Defensive Player of the Week award after he completely blew up the Tennessee offense in week one with 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Well-deserved award, and Chandler Jones speaking for the first time in a while. We know what he's been going through in terms of contract status. It was reported over the summer, Bick. I believe it was Jeremy Fowler of ESPN who had put it out there that Jones had asked for a trade. I agree with you. I'm not shocked that there was a confirmation of it, because if it wasn't true in the first place, I think there would have been some sort of refuting it from Chandler Jones over the summer.
Uh-huh.
But it was kind of refreshing to hear him just acknowledge it and very matter-of-factly and move on.
I appreciate that, and that kind of speaks to who Chandler Jones is, and he's not going to just go play that PR game. Most athletes in that situation would look to minimize a trade request. You know what I mean? You could almost hear a different kind of athlete and how they would react to that. Yeah, I don't want to get into that. Yeah, that was a different time. Yeah, that was a misunderstanding. Not thinking about that. No, that's not what Chandler Jones said. He said, "Yeah, I did." And if you want more information about that, go ask my agent and the general manager, because they're the ones with the information. I found that fascinating in a lot of different ways, Vinny. I really did. I think that there's a very interesting vibe about this team that I've yet to kind of. Yeah, that I don't think has full definition yet, but it's different. There's been some different stuff that has happened, yet the performance in week one was so good that it's fascinating to me. I am really intrigued at where this football team is going. Yeah, I really, really am.
I started thinking about it big picture, and part of this was spurred on by you recalling Kurt Warner's thoughts on the 2008 team about playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly have playmakers on this team, but when you talk about where these guys could be in terms of excellence among their own position group, you know, Rodney Hudson might be the best center in football. DeAndre Hopkins might be the best wide receiver in football. Chandler Jones might be the best pass rusher. Kyler Murray has the potential to be one of the devastating playmaking quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if the Cardinals have ever, in their Arizona history, been able to make that claim where they have so many elite players at different positions on the field. And I didn't even talk about J.J. Watt, who's one of the greatest of all time.
Merely one of the most cross-cultural, popular, mainstream football players in America.
Mm-hmm.
I will counter that by saying only a few years ago we went into the season thinking a very similar thing with David Johnson, Patrick Peterson, Chandler Jones, and then there was somebody else. But like, they've had a few, you know, individuals who were elite at their positions. It's just they didn't have the depth, and they didn't have the people.
Well,
or those players actually weren't as elite as we thought they were. David Johnson.
No, that's exactly what I was going to. And Larry Fitzgerald was probably
the fourth player.
Remember having those discussions and having that optimism.
It was like 4 years
you're right.
Ago.
That was the feeling at the beginning of the season. It didn't come to fruition. And we have yet to see if this comes to fruition, but you're talking about the vibe of the team, and that's one of the big vibes that I pick up from this team is, you know, they got a lot of studs at a lot of different positions.
It's also guys either in their prime or entering their prime. So in their prime, like a Chandler Jones or Rodney Hudson, or entering their prime like Kyler Murray and Buda Baker, like guys that are entering the elite stratosphere, whereas earlier, you know, Patrick Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald were already, maybe before we even knew it, on the downside.
Yeah.
So you've got this mixture of guys, like Vinny said, that are that can make an argument that they are among the very best at their positions. And then you've got a confluence of young guys playing very big roles on this team. And you've got a head coach who's very not head coach-like at all, who obviously sets a much different vibe. So it's one of those things where if you harness the right players, I think they'd be appreciative of Cliff Kingsbury's lighter touch, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's a real delicate balance. But as of right now, I'm really, really excited to see if the Cardinals can legitimize what they did in week one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect word. For a one-game sample, it was pretty astounding. Here's more from Chandler Jones about his performance and his situation.
Well, in this situation here, I think it's advantageous for me to show up for sure. I know I wasn't at minicamp, I wasn't at OTAs, but when it comes to this season, I think doing your job is essential. Putting the team first, ignoring the noise, and like I said previously, just managing expectations.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that wants to put up numbers. He certainly put up numbers in week one with the 5 sacks. He talked, is the contract situation in his head?
I'm just playing football, honestly. I just let my agent take care of all that, the contract situation. But it is the last year of my contract, and, you know, I just let that take care of itself.
Yeah, and about the agent, he talked about how his phone was blowing up, but the media asked, is your agent's phone blowing up after that performance?
Maybe. I haven't spoken to him. We'll see. I don't know.
I was about to say, after about that 4th sack, where like dollar bills going off in your
I was more of thinking getting the ball so Kyler can go score another touchdown, to be honest with you.
So Chandler Jones doing all the right things, saying all the right things right now. We'll see if that continues.
Yeah, and again, I think you can look at it both ways. I appreciate Chandler Jones saying that it's all about the team and showing up to work is very important to him. His play validates that. The way he performed on Sunday wasn't a guy distracted, and the fact that his trade demand went ignored, and okay, I'm coming back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of good to be said for that. But again, the gestures on the field and the demonstrations that we saw on the field, you can tell this is part of the story. This is part of what Chandler Jones is feeling. I think it's to his credit that he can still go out and be a monstrous player, regardless of not feeling settled with the organization or whatever.
Yeah. You said, I want to shift gears just for a second,
because
you said something about Cliff Kingsbury not being very head coach-like, and he, I think this week has even been more open and honest about his learning curve as a professional head coach. And we've been critical of Cliff Kingsbury on this show. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have, and I think a lot of that criticism has been warranted. And week one criticism for Cliff Kingsbury kind of centered around the sloppy beginning of the game, and timeout usage popped up a lot, at least in me looking at social media and what people were complaining about. Oh, football season's here. Cliff's burning timeouts at weird spots. I think he should be absolved from that criticism. Going back and watching that game and the curious handling of the Cardinals trying to get to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball from that officiating crew, they had no choice. They were blocking Kyler Murray from actually having the football snapped to him without resetting the play clock. Mm-hmm. There's no choice. You can't take a penalty. You got to take a timeout there. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked about that by both Wolf and Luke on Monday, and he's like, yeah, I never really got an explanation. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Right. Yes, it was weird. And it was not right of the officials to do that. They're obviously not used to seeing that kind of tempo, and these are situations where I think that Cliff Kingsbury used that moment and went nuts on the officials the way that he did. I think that some of his players on the sideline kind of like seeing that from him.
Uh-huh.
What I'm trying to say is I think at some level Cliff Kingsbury is going to grow more into this role, hopefully.
Yes.
And because I think every football player wants that. You want a strong leader at the top.
Yeah.
So if the refs are not doing what they're supposed to be, not calling what they're supposed to, that carries a lot of value for the head coach to just lose it.
But he's got
because it's very alpha male. It's very familiar to players.
Yeah, and he's got a good step to try to reach in week two, because week one was one of those rare examples. The Cliff Kingsbury coach circles around the Tennessee, you know, and his staff. Cliff Kingsbury and staff coach circles around Tennessee's staff. And that we haven't said that very much in 2+ years of football. You can text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620-620 right now. There's a certain old quarterback in the NFL that's marveling at all the young dudes. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thursday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings here from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. On today's show, we'll talk some football with one of our favorites. Dave Dameshek is going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll also talk to D-backs president and CEO Derek Hall coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We're getting ready for week two of
the
NFL.
We've got Mock My World in the 9 o'clock hour.
The Rush Hour reboot, social studies,
Survivor Series,
Bickley Blast.
Yeah.
Big Thursday show.
They're all big.
Jarrett's going to do some weird stuff on the board.
Every day, baby.
Well, you should have played the mustache, not a mustache.
Yeah, right there. That would have been
that would have been good.
People, not a mustache.
People still buzzing about Tuesday's edition of Mustache,
oh,
Not a Mustache.
Really?
Yes. There's a buzz on the streets of Phoenix about that game.
Yeah. Well, it did end very hysterical fashion.
It was really funny. Tom Brady coming off of a week one win over the Dallas Cowboys, 44 years of age, still going at it. People think he's a wizard. People think he's not human, but he's still at it. One thing Tom Brady can't believe here in year two with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is all the young guys that are getting a lot of playing time around the NFL at the quarterback position. This is from the Let's Go radio show with Jim Gray.
Yeah, there's a lot of rookies playing. It's pretty amazing. I don't remember this many young rookie players, even watching yesterday when I think of even the second-year guys, Tua, Herbert, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Fields played a little bit. Trey Lance played a little bit. Zach Wilson's playing. Mac Jones is playing. That's a lot of young quarterbacks. So kind of gone are the days of Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You know, those are the guys that I'm used to hearing. Now I'm watching yesterday and I'm seeing all these young guys. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, I'll be forgotten here soon enough. I'll move on and they'll be on to someone else. But that's just the way football goes, as does life.
My first reaction to that is, yeah, you're exactly right, Tom. All the old guys are gone. Take the hint.
Right.
Go away.
Right. It's like somebody needs to remind Tom Brady that he's 44 years old playing quarterback. And that's kind of explains why all those guys that you used to talk about, you're not talking about anymore. But he is referencing something, Vinny, that I think is one of the obvious early dominant storylines in the NFL. Young quarterbacks who are playing, and more to the point, the young quarterbacks waiting to play. And when will they play?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields and Trey Lance. I think there's a serious conversation to be had about the 49ers and exactly what kind of team spirit can you have? Where are you going in a season when Jimmy Garoppolo is being asked to share snaps with a rookie?
Mm-hmm.
And how is that playing over? There's a different dynamic in Chicago. The dynamic in Chicago is, okay, we've got this old dude who's okay, and we got this young dude who looks to be spectacular, but when do we give him the reins? Do we trust our offensive line at this point?
Well, yeah. But the big difference there, too, is, at least in my eyes, in Chicago, the old dude hasn't built up any goodwill with the organization, with the fan base. He's done nothing as a Chicago Bear, where the San Francisco situation, and not to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is old, but older than, you know, not Tom Brady old, but older than Trey Lance, he does have some goodwill. He does have some accomplishments and points to be proud of.
And he's so darn handsome.
As Mark Schlereth said.
Yeah.
What was the word he used? Stunning?
He said it's hard to have a conversation with him, is what he said. I thought that was so great. But yeah, it's different. And so Jimmy Garoppolo, you can ask yourself, does he deserve this? Is he actually kind of getting jobbed here by Kyle Shanahan? Yeah, he didn't complete a pass that would have won the Super Bowl, but Are you taking this narrative that he can't win big games for you too far?
Maybe. I mean, San Francisco, the way they've handled their quarterback situation, it may end up working for them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are the smartest guys in the room. They've certainly conducted themselves as the smartest guys in the room, and I'm talking about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan with, you know, all the smoke and mirrors and behind-the-scenes kind of stuff and the secret-keeping. But, you know, Trey Lance did get some playing time in week one against Detroit, and he threw a touchdown. And Mark Sanchez, an analyst for Fox, after, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo gave Trey Lance a hug after that. He said those are hard hugs to give.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Garoppolo was on KNBR radio yesterday and was asked about that comment. And he said he's not wrong. It is type of situation. It's one of those. We had a good drive, marched down there. Kyle called the package, and he's the head coach. Whatever he calls goes. Just one of those things. You can only control what you can control. I'm out there with my boys making the best of it, having a good time. At the end of the day, we're playing football, trying to get a win. Whatever it takes, it is what it is, you know?
Right. And so that tells you that he's not exactly enamored with the idea. And
he shouldn't
be. Nor should he be.
No.
Right? If you are the quarterback of a football team, you have to act a certain way. And you have to exert a certain amount of control. And if you're getting pulled off the field for somebody else, you simply can't be that guy. You just can't. And so I think in San Francisco here, Kyle Shanahan's playing a dangerous game here.
Kyle Shanahan's playing a dangerous game.
This summer.
It's personal.
And so you think about this, and you wonder, how is this playing out? I'm sure it's fine right now, but the 49ers, this is a rugged division, man. And I can see this scenario where if Kyler Murray and the Cardinals are all that, and the Seahawks keep winning, I could see Kyle Shanahan going, okay, we need more quarterback. Let's elevate this kid now, because if we don't get him ready now, we're not going to win later in December in the playoffs, because we will not have enough quarterback to deal with these other teams in our division. And then you think about the dynamics of the team. Quarterbacks are generally very tight with their offensive linemen. How do two quarterbacks develop the same kind of vibe with an offensive line? You don't.
No, you don't.
No.
Especially when the skill sets are so different.
And then there's this trend of all these young quarterbacks playing now. Yet every situation in the NFL is not ready to absorb a rookie quarterback. The culture of organizations vary dramatically in the NFL.
Yeah.
Some places are train wrecks. Some places are great. People feel comfortable Mac Jones playing in week one because of Bill Belichick, because of that structure, fair or otherwise.
And because of recent trends. And the reason why we're focusing so much on Chicago and San Francisco is two teams that did have established veteran quarterbacks who did make big investments in the top 10 of the draft. And recent history has said, all right, if you spend a high pick on a quarterback, he's playing.
Right.
So we have two examples this year alone, which is it's not commonplace in today's NFL.
No, it's
but it's also very rare that teams with legitimate playoff aspirations pick a quarterback that high.
That is true.
It's usually the awful teams like the New York Jets.
That's right.
Of the world.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Or the Jaguars.
Both of those organizations put themselves in that situation.
Yeah. And there's so much that young quarterbacks can't know about the NFL. I mean, there are guys who learn faster than others, but there's a baseline of experience you have to really know what you're doing. And look at Kyler Murray and the lessons that he has had to learn over the first couple of years. And we're all looking at him now going, okay, this is looking good. But I guess the bottom line is, gone are the days that you draft a quarterback and park him for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's unless the only way I could see that happening with a high draft pick is if a team falls in love with a quarterback, they get him in, and then they realize, uh-oh, he's really not ready. He's way, way green, and we can't afford to put him out there. I don't know if you'd ever get that admission publicly, but you get it by actions.
Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a high pick.
No, but what's funny is that Jimmy Garoppolo is tied up in all this, because Jimmy Garoppolo was essentially drafted to be Tom Brady's replacement in New England.
That's right.
But Tom Brady outlasted the learning curve.
Uh-huh.
And they had to move on from him.
Then you look at situations like you said, the bad teams drafting young quarterbacks and playing them right away, that's like a recipe for disaster. You look at Russell Wilson in Seattle. When he got that job, they plugged him in, and they had Marshawn Lynch. They had the Legion of Doom. They had all this good stuff already in place. And all he had to do was basically hand off the ball and scramble and pick up key first downs. And he was allowed to grow into a situation while winning.
But
that didn't always happen.
But he also won the job. He legitimately won the job.
He did. Like, over Matt Flynn.
But that could have and probably should have happened with Justin Fields. But the Bears are stubborn because they made Andy Dalton a promise or whatever. They
or whatever. That's pure speculation. But again, it might be more detailed. It might be concern their offensive line. The offense certainly that they're running right now is not suited for Justin Fields. It's suited for a dink and dunker like Andy Dalton.
Yeah, definitely. They proved that.
Mm-hmm.
Text Red Sea right now to 620-620. Listen for your name today at 735, 135, and 335. You could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday, plus one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up next, the question of the offseason for the Phoenix Suns has been to max or not to max. A little bit of an update on that situation in Suns land next. It's Bickley and Murata. Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The broadcasters of your area in voluntary cooperation with federal
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata.
Bickley and Murata Mornings.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
No, I'm not surprised. And George, you shouldn't be either. Look, this is why. Who's the general manager of the Phoenix Suns? James Jones. What did he grow up under? The Pat Riley culture. Bam out of the bayou, didn't sign his contract. He's sticking until the last day. The last day, DeAndre Ayton will sign this extension, but it would not be until close to the deadline.
It's Kendrick Perkins on ESPN's The Jump when asked if he's surprised that DeAndre Ayton, center of the Phoenix Suns, has not received his contract extension, the max contract extension that's been talked about so much. In case you're wondering about that deadline that Kendrick Perkins talked about, that deadline is October 18th, and that's the gap in between the completion of the preseason schedule for the Suns. They've got four games. Their regular season opener is Wednesday, October 20th. Now, will it happen? I don't know. I don't think so. But Burns and Gambo talked about this yesterday on their show, and Gambo was, you know, working to find out if there was any update on the situation, and we'll play a little snippet of that conversation here for
DeAndre
you.
DeAndre Ayton. We are
no like new update on the contract. I checked on it today, just to see if there was anything new with the people that I'm speaking with, and just no update at this point. There's no update. I know that I know that both sides, especially DeAndre's side, would love to get something done. They would love to get something done. We'll see if something happens before the start of the season.
I would have to assume that if the Suns were interested in offering him the max contract,
it would have been done already.
They would have done it by now.
Yeah, because there's nothing to negotiate. Hey, we want to offer you the max, take it, and we're done.
And they haven't done it.
But that doesn't mean they won't.
That doesn't mean they won't before the deadline comes, right?
They could offer him a four-year deal. They could say, listen, we'll give you a four-year deal for this much money instead of the five-year deal with the max. They could offer him a four-year deal and see if he takes that.
Yeah.
And if you're his group, you could say that gets you to free agency a little bit quicker as well to cash in on a big deal. So it's just, maybe that's where they're at.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder we're not going to offer you the max. We're not going to do it. Will you take this? Will you take that? And then right at the deadline, all right, fine. We'll offer you the max. You know, trying to see if you can get him to bite on something less than the max. Because as you said, you think the deadline for all of this to happen is by game one of the regular season, right? Like if he's going to extend that rookie contract, you have to do it before the season actually starts.
There's a lot to chew on there. The improbability that he gets the max deal. There has been members of DeAndre Ayton's draft class that have received max deals. Luka Doncic headlining that group. That's a no-brainer. Trae Young, pretty much a no-brainer. The one that's interesting to me is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who got a five-year, $172.5 million max extension that could jump up to $207 million if he earns all NBA honors this year. Now you can ask yourself the question, DeAndre Ayton, is he in the Luka Doncic, Trae Young class yet? I think you have to consider position in all of it. But if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be a building block for the Oklahoma City Thunder, he's a good player. But would DeAndre Ayton's camp take that as a slap in the face that he's not going to get that offer? If it's a four-year deal like Ambo is suggesting, I'm not so sure that would be received very gladly.
Because that fifth year really jumps that. That fifth year, I believe, is 40-something million or right about 40 million. That fifth year, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The additional year between the four-year contract and the five-year contract, you would be very motivated if you were DeAndre Ayton to get the fifth year. Now, I'm very conflicted on all of this, and I'm going to tell you why. I think that I want Robert Sarver to prove undoubtedly that he is willing to foot the bill to get this thing to the finish line. He has vowed that he will. He has written it to Suns. It is in writing, his guarantee to Suns fans. Okay, so this kind of story makes me automatically nervous. It gets my reflexes going in a bad direction because of the history here with this stuff. But then I think about DeAndre Ayton. And then I think about how fragile this line is that we're all walking with this kid. Because we've heard the stories from Chris Paul and how he basically had to have a conversation that, dude, you are too happy with losing. Mm-hmm. You don't care the way you need to care. And that came out in that podcast from Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it in very, very, very clear terms that I don't want to be associated with a loser. Okay? Now, DeAndre Ayton in the playoffs was phenomenal. They don't get to where they got if he doesn't play the way he did. Do we all feel comfortable he's going to show up in the first week of the season and be that locked in? No, because he's not built that way. Has he turned the corner competitively where you can trust him with a five-year max deal? Or do you just roll the dice and say, you're going to have to prove it for an entire year? And then if you get one of these kickers, okay, my bad, but we'll pay you then. Part of me says, especially when you look at Chandler Jones and the way he blew up in week one, part of me says that kind of pressure to perform is not necessarily a bad thing. But then part of me says that great camaraderie that team had last year, this is how it breaks apart when DA goes, wait a minute, I was drafted number one overall. Luka Doncic got paid. Trae Young got paid. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got paid. And you're not paying me?
Did you see what I did in the playoffs, by the way?
Did you not see what I did in the playoffs?
One of those four players mentioned has actually played in the NBA Finals.
So,
one of them.
Yeah, right. And so DeAndre Ayton's people are going to say, do you not recognize his field goal percentage in the postseason? Do you not know what kind of numbers he put up and how rare those numbers are? We all saw the impact, but do you trust it? Do you trust him? Do you trust him to be on the grind still? It's really a fascinating thing, and clearly the Suns are going to not pay him the five-year max deal because it would be done. It would be because you'd celebrate that. Devin Booker, boom, done. You would make it a point to go, you deserve this. Here you go. So what you're going to do now is you're going to basically say, because you can't negotiate it lower than that, and you can offer him the four-year deal and hope he takes it. But what does that do to the esprit de corps? And where's Mikal Bridges in all of this?
Yeah, I'm not saying that this is the case, but I'm just throwing it out there as food for thought, a suggestion. After the run the Suns had, after the level of performance we saw from DeAndre Ayton throughout most of the playoffs, and really the first three rounds of the series, DeAndre Ayton, you can make a strong argument, he was the most valuable Suns player. Do you think the organization is waiting to see what DeAndre Ayton looks like reporting to camp? How dialed in is he? How ready to go is he to follow that up? Because it would be disappointing if they made this commitment and, you know, he showed up and the fire wasn't burning.
Right, right. Devin Booker went from the NBA Finals to play in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know Chris Paul is on the grind because that's what he does. DeAndre Ayton went to the Bahamas. And that's cool. everybody's entitled to get away and go on vacation. But the perception of it matters. You're right. You don't know how locked in he's going to be. And is Chris Paul going to have to harangue again all season long? I'm sure at some point in time, Chris Paul wants to tap out of that.
Mm-hmm. It's all very interesting.
It is.
There's a lot to consider in all
of it. Again, I'm conflicted on what the Suns should do. So that tells you just how tricky this is.
Oh, yeah. It's a fragile balance. Oh. There's no doubt about it. Coming up next, year three of Kyler Murray as an NFL quarterback, his number one growing up right before our eyes. We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.